You have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 27. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27. Hear now the word of God. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Nephthites. That was a good close try there. From the house of Gilgal and from the fields of Geba and Asmavah, for the singers had built themselves villages all around Jerusalem. Then the priests and Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the wall. So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. One went to the right hand on the wall toward the refuge gate. After them went Hosiah and half of the leaders of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, and some of the priest's sons with trumpets, Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattiah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his brethren, Shemaiah, Azarel, Gilai, Nathan El, Judah and Hanani with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. Ezra the scribe went before them. By the fountain gate in front of them, they went up the stairs of the city of David on the stairway of the wall beyond the house of David as far as the water gate eastward. The other thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I was behind them with half of the people on the wall, going past the Tower of the Ovens as far as the broad wall. And above the gate of Ephraim, above the old gate, above the fish gate, the Tower of Hananel, the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the sheep gate, they stopped by the gate of the prison. So the two thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God likewise, I and half of the rulers with me, and the priests, Eliakim, Messiah, Minjamin, Micaiah, Eloehnai, Zechariah, Hananiah, with trumpets. Also Messiah, Shemaiah, Eliezer, Uzi, Johanan, Machijah, Elam, and Ezer. The singers sang loudly with Jezariah, the director. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. And at the same time, some were appointed over the rooms of the storehouse for the offerings, the first fruits, and the tithes, to gather into them from the fields of the cities, the portion specified by the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who ministered. Both the singers and the gatekeepers kept the charge of their God and the charge of the purification, according to the command of David and Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chiefs of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. And in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah, all Israel gave the portions for the singers and the gatekeepers, a portion for each day. They also consecrated holy things for the Levites, and the Levites consecrated themselves for the children of Aaron. The grass withers, the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. Amen. Please be seated and let us pray and ask for the Lord's blessing now as we consider this fascinating text that's before us. Father in heaven, we do come before you and we do thank you, O Lord, again for this recounting to us of an event that occurred so long ago, almost 2,500 years ago. And yet, it is as important to us today as it was to them. And so we pray that you would grant, O Lord, the ability to understand that, to grasp the significance of this event in the lives of your people back then, and how it also applies to us today as your people and as those walls, as the city of God, and we being those living stones in your house, in your city, Mount Zion, the city of the great King. You have placed your name upon us, and we are that reflection of your glory in the earth. And so we pray that you would enable us to find ourselves both represented by the stones, but also by the singers and by all those that are on the wall. And we thank you, O Lord, for many of the names that we didn't read in the first 26 verses, each of them recounted by you and special to you and recorded in your book, as well as those that were recorded in what we read, and in the multitudes of those whose names are not recorded here, but their names are recorded in the book of life, the more important place. And so we pray that you would enable us, O Lord, as we open your word here, as we study it, that you would help us to know you better and to know what it is that you would have us to do. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you noticed at the very beginning of verse 27, a couple times there was the word dedication. There are events in life, a society sets aside time at times and places to dedicate buildings, parks, ships, streets, you name it. We've recently this week had, you could almost call it a dedication, it's memorial services for two people that passed away recently. What was going on? Why all the big amount of money spent and all of the time? Why was that held? Why were they held in, Detroit and in Arizona and all? What was the purpose of all that? These two have gone. They're dead. But yet it deemed important, isn't it, to take time to set aside a place and to honor those who had gone before. What is it about dedicating buildings, though that's what I want to focus on, and this is not only among Christians, but also among the world, non-Christians as well. They find it important to dedicate a ship. A lot of, bubbly has been broken over bows of ships as they dedicated it. Every time they built the ship, they destroyed a bottle of bubbly in the process, celebrating or identifying. Why is it that these ships are named? What is it about that? Well, I have two answers to that question. One is dedication of a building right now in our text of the wall of Jerusalem. One of the things that it signifies is the job is done. They labored on this wall, they repaired the gates, they hung the doors, and then when they dedicated this construction, it was a celebration that mission was accomplished. Remember that Nehemiah, at the very beginning of the book, as we opened this book, we found him back in Persia serving the King of Kings, the King of Persia, as his major protector, Remember that? He is the one that brought the wine to the king, the wine taster, who tasted it first and who had to make sure that nothing would harm the king. He was a confidant as well. And when he had heard about Jerusalem and he had heard that the walls were broken down and the gates were burned with fire and that the people that were there were under great persecution by those around and there was great shame and dishonor to Jerusalem, he wept and he started fasting and praying for 3 months. What's the longest fast you've ever done? Have you ever done a fast? Can you imagine fasting for praying for 3 months? And then he enters into the presence of the king and his countenance is down. He's sad. And you did not do that. You did not enter into the presence of the king with a sad face because it could cost you your life. And yet the king noticed and said, why is your countenance fallen? What's wrong with you? And so I love what Nehemiah said. I pray to God, Lord, go before me. And he told him of the concern he had for his brethren of the city. And so the king said, well, how long are you going to need? I'll send you on your way. And what do you need, by the way? What building materials are required? And I will send letters. And so God worked in the heart of the king, and he has been there in Jerusalem, and the wall is now accomplished. So number one, mission accomplished. The wall's been built, and now we're celebrating that. But also, usually when a dedication occurs, it is a declaration of a purpose. In other words, a purpose is attached to the object. This particular wall, this particular city, this particular building, this particular, you name it, has this purpose. We are setting it aside. Or another way of saying it, the dedication has a past element, mission accomplished, and a present and on into the future. There's a purpose for this dedicated place. I believe that it's actually part of the dominion mandate that God has given to us. And even non-Christians understand that. And so there is the idea of naming, the idea of giving it purpose. Consider Adam. When Adam named the animals, there was a purpose that he attached to those animals. He named them, and the names identified their abilities and their purpose. And so it is with the dedication of a building. God has created all things, and he also has providentially involved himself in the hearts and affairs of men. And one of those involvements is he's created and he's dedicated. He has set purposes for everything under heaven. And so it is that we emulate him as we do so in our lives as a people and as individuals. So let's continue to look at our text. The context is there was a problem, and now the solution has been found, and the celebration, the focus was not on, look what we have done. If you read that text, is there anything in it where they are saying, look at how great we are, and look at what great work that we have done? And the answer is no. First point, what great wonders God has wrought. We are coming to the end of recorded history, Old Testament recorded history. From this point on, there will be a period of silence of about 400 years before we come to history recorded in the New Testament. We're coming to the end, and the end is an amazing end in a sense, is that what the people have experienced is a second Exodus. They were in captivity in Babylon, and now they are back in the land. They have left that captivity, and they have returned to their inheritance. They're setting up their houses. They're setting up their businesses. They're setting up their villages and towns, and now Jerusalem is being filled. We looked at last week how 1/10 of the people volunteered to be in Jerusalem and set up their, their lives there. We have a second Exodus and we have a second conquest all rolled into one. They have come back into the land. Again, where they're right now, you think about what's happening in Israel today and the great battle that's going on right now concerning who owns the land and who owns Jerusalem and all of that. Well, during that time, they're under the Persian rule and they are returning and taking their land back. Imagine that there was people that had been living there for 70 years or so that said, "Who do you think you are? This is my house. This is my land." No, it isn't. This is our land. We were exiled and we've come back and we want our land back. And so there was a conquest that occurred. A second exodus and conquest. But also, as we saw earlier in Ezra, there was a second temple that had been built on the site of the former one. In other words, there was a restoration, not only of the people being back in their inheritance, back in the land, but there was also the worship of God was established, the sacrificial system was established, there was a place to go for atonement, for reconciliation with God because of sin, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ who would come, and also that the priesthood was functioning again. And if you look in our text, you see that the focus at the very beginning, which we skipped over, was the listing of the priests and the Levites who came up from Zerubbabel, and then it describes various periods of time of those that were in the priesthood or the Levites. In many ways, we can think of Levites as deacons. They served the priests. And so the 26 verses that I didn't read, if you want to read those, are describing them and naming them. Again, the identity of those who are there to serve the Lord, to serve in the temple that had been rebuilt. So in other words, what we have here is a revival. A revival of the biblical religion. If you remember, with Ezra there, and Ezra's mentioned here, Ezra was the great scribe, great scholar of the law of God, the Torah. And we saw again and again that reference to the law, the reading of the law, the training or teaching or expounding of the law. Here we have the law again being applied, understood, maybe in a greater way than it has had been in the people's lives, in Israel's lives. You also have them reading the prophets. And now also we have the writings. And now we have the Psalms in their organized whole as we have it now. We have the revival, if you will, of the biblical religion and the application of it. People are actually living the Bible. They're sacrificing. They're worshiping. And in this particular text, you notice the amount of celebration, the word joy, and the use of instruments, and the use of people marching and walking around the on the top of the wall. The wall must have been built good enough, even though archaeologists say the wall was a pretty shoddy job. There weren't professionals that built the wall, but amateurs. But it was strong enough that they could walk around on it, contrary to the mocking of the enemies that said if a fox went up there, the wall would fall down. And here they are marching around on it in response to that reproach. So now they are standing with the removed reproach. They have been given an identity. They have been given security. There is walls. And there is a governor. The city now is inhabited or being inhabited. And so again, look what great wonders God has wrought. Again, the people had been scattered after the destruction of Samaria and destruction of Jerusalem. And the people were taken off as captives and slaves. And now they have returned. An amazing feat. Who would have thought that God would bring them back? They had sinned so greatly for hundreds of years, and God's judgment fell on them, and yet God has brought them back and has restored them And revival is now happening, both physically and with the people of God. Is the same thing happening today? Is the work of the Spirit involved in the church today? Is God raising up people that are serious about the Word of God, that desire to serve and worship our God, here at Rehoboth and throughout the world? I think so. One of the things I'm looking forward to today is the reception of 3 new members into the church. And they're right there, are servants, or you could almost say stones. Peter calls us living stones. Have you ever thought of yourself as a lively stone? Well, that's what Peter says, that we are living stones built into that house. And so God is raising up living stones. God has established this church. When we came 7 years ago, this was a chapel. This was not a church. This was a chapel under the oversight of a church. But during this time here, God has raised up living stones. We now have elders. We now have a deacon. We now have many, many that serve. I was toying with the idea of having each person stand who serves in the, as mentioning the type of service from prayer to sound to music to meals to on and on, but I'm not going to embarrass you. You can say thank you, Pastor, for that. But if we did, I would say that most of this congregation would end up standing, because we do serve together. And it's a glorious thing to behold. I enjoyed this morning. Frank said to me this week, "You're the visiting pastor. You are not to show up like you normally do, but you're to show up as if you're a visiting pastor, because next week you're going to have a visiting pastor. Reverend Alpuche will be here next week, Lord willing, and then Reverend Rowe the week after that, and you'll be able to meet a number of the RCUS ministers. And I'm rejoicing in that." And so the idea was, well, people showed up early. And you set it up. And it was a joy to just watch everyone pulling their weight, serving the Lord. And so there is a work that God is doing here, and I celebrate it with you. So what should our response be? Our second point. Notice again in verses 1 through 26, the Levites and the priests were identified. And in verse 27 of our text, "Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and with harps." They were sought out. These servants were sought out and set apart for God's use and glory. And that's the point I was trying to make a minute ago. Are you a servant of the Lord? Are you set apart for God's use and glory? The answer is yes, if you have been identified, if you've made that public profession of faith. But the question is, well, how are you doing in your sanctification? How are you doing in your service? How are you being used of God to glorify Him? These Levites and these priests who set up houses in and around Jerusalem were now brought together to celebrate, to dedicate this wall and these gates with singing, with thanksgiving, with instrumentation. They used the gifts that God had given them to praise the Lord and to give Him thanks. And so again, making a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? For some of us, when we sing, it's basically a noise unto the Lord. Some of us actually can actually keep a tune. Some of us need the instrument. Pray for the Lord to raise up piano players. That's an area of great weakness in this church, and so we've been praying for that. Notice also verses 28 and 29. The sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages, and from the houses of Gilgal, and so on. They gathered themselves because they had built themselves villages around Jerusalem in order to be able to gather together. The sons of the singers inhabited villages around Jerusalem. There was a readiness and an ability to serve the Lord. Did you see that? They didn't move far away. They moved close at hand. When it was their turn, when it was their opportunity to gather together in Jerusalem, they lived close. They lived and served. And they used the gifts that God had given to them. This is one of the challenges that the Lord is calling on Rehoboth, isn't it? You guys got to do these things that you were relying on me or David or so. Who's going to be teaching the Sunday schools? Who's going to be providing the meals? These are things that you guys, God is calling you to take on those responsibilities. They had a readiness to serve. They had the ability to serve, and they served. And notice in verse 30, not only did they come, but they purified themselves. Verse 30, then the priests and Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the walls. Notice that. They consecrated themselves. They purified themselves. This is one of the things we do every Sunday, isn't it? We go confess our sin, look to Jesus, who is our purification. All these sacrifices that they would use to purify themselves, all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do that here on Sunday morning. I hope you do that during the week. You confess your sins and you look to Jesus. You go to the cross. As I have been reminded at times, have you seen the cross today, brother? Have you gone to the cross? Have you confessed your sins? Have you looked to Jesus? Have you reminded yourself of the forgiveness that God declares? They gathered together, verse 31, and they walked on the walls. They set foot on what God had wrought through them, and they rejoiced in Him and in His goodness to them. Again, think about this. Nehemiah, when he was there in Persia, there was no walls. And now, through their labor against great opposition, now they are standing on these walls and they're looking out. And they turn around and they look within. They're standing and they're looking at the city and they're looking outside. Here, God has wrought security. God has set renown. We are now a city of renown, not a city broken down. We are a city that others respect rather than mock. As they stood on the walls, as they walked by the gates, up and over the gates, and they could see the security, the safety. This is what God has wrought. And their response was to what? Rejoice not in the building, not in the walls themselves, but what? In God. In what God has wrought. God working through these people. So this chapter focuses on mission accomplished, the dedication of the wall, but also upon service of God. And so again, look at verse 44, continues. And at the same time, some were appointed over the rooms of the storehouse for the offerings, the the first fruits and the tithes, to gather into them from the fields of the cities the portion specified by the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who ministered. Notice that. They were appointed. There were those that were appointed to gather in the first fruits, to gather in those gifts and offerings. For what purpose? For the continuation of worship and service in the temple, in the house of God. Furthermore, in verse 45, we read, both the singers and the gatekeepers kept the charge of their God and the charge of the purification according to the command of David and Solomon, his son. Notice that. The singers are called out and the gatekeepers. Now, I understand the need for gatekeepers because we're talking about gates and walls. And so you got to have people that run and open the gates and close the gates, right? That one makes sense. But why the emphasis on singers? Singers are not necessary for walls. Singers are not necessarily for gates, are they? But yet, in God's guidance of David, notice David and Solomon, there was a connection between the entrance into the presence of the holy city and the singing and celebration of the Holy One. David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He says it was greater honor to be a doorkeeper, a gatekeeper, than it was to celebrate as a wealthy individual in the tents of wickedness. And so here we have the gatekeepers, the porters, the servants of the house of God, and the singers gathered together for the celebration and the singing and the use of instruments in the celebration of our God. And verse 47, it says, all Israel gave the portion. The whole body of Christ were gathered together. So here are some questions for you today in application. Are you a servant of God? Has God placed his name upon you? Has he claimed you as his own? If the answer is yes, then you're a servant of God. And you're called to be what? Successful or faithful? Faithful. We don't focus on the success. That's God's determination. But we are called to faithfulness. Faithfulness in serving our Lord. In living for Him. Do you live as a praise unto God for what he has done? Do you wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for this day, another day to serve you? How can I please you? How often do you ask that question of the Lord? Lord, how can I please you today? I heard the testimony of one individual recently that said that one of their relatives stopped walking with the Lord because the Lord didn't answer their prayer. And my thought was, oh, so God exists for your benefit. How many Christians worship God or serve God for what they get out of God? God says, you belong to me. I claim you as my own. Are you a servant of the Lord? Are you dedicated to his glory? Now, his glory can be revealed in whatever callings that you have. But the idea is that calling, whatever it is you're called to be or to do, is it for the Lord? I work at this company, or I go to school or whatever it is, I do that because that is how I am to glorify God. And nobody else in the world is called to that particular job that I have right now. That is my calling. Just like these Levites and just like these priests were set apart, other tribes, people in other tribes, could not officiate in the temple, could not offer the sacrifices. There were people that were called gatekeepers. Why? Because that was their calling, to keep the gates, okay? And it was a great honor. There were singers. What was their job? To sing, right? They were set apart. They probably had good voices, who knows? But they were set aside to sing. That's another question. How often does God hear you sing praises to Him? Well, the shower may be the only place where that happens, maybe not. But the question is, when was the last time in your devotions that you actually sang? That part of your devotions is to, if you don't have a Trinity hymnal, we can get you one, to actually crack it open and or wherever. But the idea of actually that, the desire to sing, thank you to God, to celebrate, to worship. Notice that throughout this passage, again and again, there's this description of the celebration of God, the rejoicing in God, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you feel tired? Do you feel, oh, I just can't do this? How are you doing in rejoicing in the Lord? Have you focused so much on the circumstances that I can't get enough to be able to do what I'm called to do? Well, that's because you're under the circumstances. So service, dedication, rejoicing. As a people of God, we gather in worship to encourage one another. We're part of a community. We're part of a family. That's one of the things that we have, as a Wojtek family, is I think we've struggled a bit. We're leaving one family and moving to another area and to a different part of the family of God, and now going to be getting to know a whole bunch of strange people, you know, who have strange opinions. And you know, they're in North Dakota, where they talk a little funny in some ways. You know, they end sentences with, do you want to come with? With what? And funny words like oofta. That's one of my favorite words that I learned in North Dakota the last time I was there. Oofta. And a few others. So the idea is that for us, is we're going to be leaving this family. And that is a hard thing. And for some of you, some of you are actually going through emotions of, how dare you leave us? And the struggle is, well, we didn't want to. But God calls and God directs. Are we to honor that? But there is a family here. You understand that? This isn't just a place to come hear somebody preach or whatever. This is a family. We're part of a larger family. We gather in worship. We gather to serve. We gather to rededicate for His purposes. Or another way of saying it is we do dedication every Sunday. What's happening here in our text is something that happens every Sunday. It is a covenant renewal celebration and dedication. God has raised us up together to serve together in the body of Christ. One brother today in the Lord said that he has a friend who recently passed away. And this person was all alone. And all of a sudden, he stopped getting emails from this individual. And when he called up the police department in that city to find out if there was something going on, they referred him to the coroner's office. This fellow had passed away, probably alone. How long was it before somebody found the body? He lived alone. I'm reminded of my own grandfather when he passed away. It was only because he went to a certain restaurant every morning for breakfast that anybody knew that he passed away, because he didn't come down for breakfast. And so somebody went looking for him. We're part of a larger body. We're part of a family that care for one another, that love one another. So in conclusion, one of the sons of Korah wrote, and we read it earlier, "Walk about Zion, go all around her, count her towers, mark her bulwarks, consider her palaces for this purpose, that you may tell it to the generations following. For this is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death." There is a connection with the people of God and with God himself. May God enable us to tell it to the next generation concerning our God. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we do thank you, O Lord, for the work that you did in the life of Nehemiah, in raising him up to stir up those servants to build this wall and to hang the gates and the doors and to establish this security and all this mission accomplished. And so as well, what you are doing here in establishing a church in LA, an RCUS church, committed to the Word of God, committed to the people of God, committed to the glory of God. And so we ask, O Lord, that you would continue to glorify yourself in and through your people, that you would strengthen this congregation, especially in this transition into the next servant pastor for this congregation. And we ask, O Lord, for wisdom and guidance, that you would even now put it upon the heart of that man, that he would understand that you have called him to this place. And so we thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity that we have had to serve alongside the brethren. And we ask, O Lord, that you would strengthen and equip all that are here, all that are not here, members that could not be here today as well. We pray, O Lord, for your blessing upon each a living stone in this household of God, and that you would add to the number, continue to glorify yourself through this work. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.